When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Welcome, my friends, to the Bob and Brad podcast. My name is Mike Kienitz, and today I am interviewing physical therapist Kelly Sturm, who is a board-certified oncology specialist, as well as a certified lymphedema therapist. Today, we are going to be talking about lymphedema specifically. We mainly highlight in the legs and lower body. However, we do discuss a little bit in the upper body as well. So without further ado, here is Kelly. Well, welcome to the show, Kelly Sturm. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So we're going to be talking about lymphedema. So you are a certified lymphedema therapist, and your channel also focuses on cancer rehab as well. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep. I'm a certified lymphedema therapist and also an oncology specialist.
So can you tell us about your background and what made you become interested in treating lymphedema?
Yes, I went to school or grad school at the Mayo Clinic, and they had a lymphedema clinic, I would say, there. And that was still new to me. So that was the first time I was ever exposed to what lymphedema is and how a therapist can play a role with it. And I just really enjoyed that. It's an area that's not talked about a whole lot as far as therapists, but also just in the community. But it's incredibly common to see in the public what lymphedema is and leg swelling in general. And I just really enjoyed being able to find ways to help these individuals. So once I moved and got my first job, I joined an area or a group that had a lymphedema team and then became certified. And I've been doing that for the last decade plus.
Yeah, for our audience, lymphedema in schooling, we get a little bit of information, but you really have to go into specialization to really know everything. And it's very, either you enjoy it or you don't. I mean, treating wise, that's kind of a pretty niche.
Yep, it's pretty unique. And I know doctors only get about an hour in their entire schooling career too about what lymphedema is. So it's just not well known, but it affects millions. And so it's really common and we need more of us to treat it.
So you have a YouTube channel as well as a website. Do you want to talk about those a little bit?
Yeah. So my website is cancerrehabpt.com, and you can find me on YouTube at cancerrehabpt and also on Instagram. And, you know, I say cancer rehab, but it's also lymphedema for those who don't have cancer. Lymphedema can be something that someone is born with, something that someone gets after an injury or something else, or even just a general surgery, but someone who has cancer treatment may also get lymphedema. So there is a crossover there, but I do talk about all things lymphedema, separate also from the oncology.
So on your website, I noticed you have specific programs for lymphedema, but do you also work with patients in person?
I do. So for the last 10 years, I was in a hospital setting working in outpatient. And just this year I transitioned. So I am treating patients one-on-one in a private practice setting. So on my own, and I'm in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul area, working, outpatient that someone can come see me in person.
So how are your programs tailored on your website?
I have a couple different programs. I have a lower body lymphedema program. It really goes through anything that someone may need to know about how they can self-manage or treat lymphedema in their lower body. Just seeing a lot of people who don't have access to a lymphedema therapist. There's maybe not someone nearby them, or they want to learn more. And so I just compiled everything that I teach my patients one-on-one and put it in a video form with different sections and handouts and exercises. And so that program exists. And then I also have, for those who have upper body lymphedema or breast or chest lymphedema, I have a breast cancer program. And within that, there is a lymphedema program that someone can get separate. I also have a shop where people can just get handouts that are how to do lymphatic drainage, a step-by-step, or exercises for lymphedema if they want something small like that.
I do realize a lot of my questions, because I saw you said lower body in your program. So a lot of my questions are swelling in legs. Yeah. However, if you want to correlate it to the upper body, go ahead at times.
Okay.
So we're going to get into lymphedema now. So can you explain what lymphedema is and how it differs from other forms of swelling in the legs?
Yeah. So lymphedema is what we call a dysfunction of the lymphatic system that someone has. So just a quick rundown, your blood comes from your heart and it pumps through your body, through your arteries, and then it comes back to the heart through your veins. But some of that blood or some of the fluid from the blood comes out in that process, and it's called lymph fluid. And that fluid comes up separate within your lymphatic system, where it gets filtered for bacteria, illnesses, harmful substances, like which works with your immune system. And if that system isn't working correctly, or maybe someone had lymph nodes removed, so it's just not filtering correctly, it can get backed up and congested, and that can cause swelling. And that's what people see as lymphedema. So that's what lymphedema is. And sorry, what was the other part of that question?
How does it differ from other forms of swelling?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's just the fact that what is causing the swelling is the difference. So someone can have swelling because of vein issues. Someone can have arthritis issues or other things that affect their joints. Maybe they had trauma. Maybe they had a surgery. So many things can cause swelling, and lymphedema is different because it's just specific to what is causing that kind of swelling.
Sure. So what are some common causes of lymphedema?
Yeah, there are two main groups of lymphedema. So there's primary and secondary. And primary lymphedema is something that someone is born with, something they had genetic, and may not show up right away at birth and may not show up until they're in their teens or in their 20s or 30s, or something like a surgery triggers it, but they really had an issue early on. And then there's secondary lymphedema, which the most common cause is cancer, where they'll take lymph nodes in their surgery, or someone may have a different kind of surgery or trauma. I've seen someone have a fracture or break their leg, and that can cause lymphedema because the lymph vessels or nodes get damaged in that same trauma. So that's all falls under secondary lymphedema. At the end of the day, we treat them the same as far as therapy goes and how we manage the swelling. It's just, again, the difference is what causes them.
I didn't know that there's a primary you just genetically have. That's kind of fascinating. How do they discover that?
People have had that. If you look back, that's where the history book started. You know, that was the first lymphedema they found. It's something that someone was born with, and they had these larger limbs, really full fluid limbs, and trying to figure out why that is. And it's typically a genetic thing or a malformation, as they call it, that someone's not born with the lymph vessels or the number of lymph nodes. And again, some small children will have swelling and some won't notice any issues until they get older or something triggers it. Maybe an infection in their body that they not even correlate at all. It's something that just backs up the immune system that makes it really have to work in overdrive, but it can't keep up anymore. And that just spills over into swelling. So
have you ever
actually
worked
about 10% or 20% of lymphedema is primary lymphedema.
Okay. I was going to say, have you ever worked with a child with primary lymphedema?
Oh yeah. All the time. Yep. Huh.
I came from a setting where it was, I don't know what the correct term is now. We always called it nursing homes, skilled nursing facilities. Yep. But, you know, it's Medicare 65 plus. So I'm just used to that population. So obviously you don't really associate primary with that. But, it's fascinating. So what are some common misconceptions about lymphedema and leg swelling that you can encounter in your practice?
Yeah, I think the biggest one, and this comes, it's not just the patients, but the doctors too, is not knowing what lymphedema is and just diagnosing it's lymphedema. However, it may not be lymphedema. It could be swelling because of vein issues. It could be swelling from something else. And that's really important because yes, in therapy, we treat them the same. But if someone has a way to work with their doctor or another specialist to really address the underlying cause of the swelling, lymphedema doesn't have a cure, but what they may have might. And so it's really important to make sure that we diagnose them correctly. The other thing when it comes to lymphedema I hear a lot is someone is prescribed a diuretic or a water pill, and they don't work for lymphedema. That doesn't work like that. So maybe if someone has fluid that's sitting around their abdomen that's related to something else, diuretic would work. But when it comes to lymphedema, it's not going to support the lymphatics. And so it's not something that is going to be very beneficial for that person. So they need to do different kind of therapy specifically with a lymphedema therapist to treat their condition.
Ah, I always just associated that. I guess I don't, you know, oftentimes in therapy, we get the list of, you know, medications or other issues they have, but I just always assume that would help. But I'm learning a lot today. I have pretty minimal knowledge in lymphedema, so I'm here to learn today. So what role does physical therapy play in managing lymphedema and leg swelling?
Yeah, we are in therapy at this time, one of the biggest way to manage their lymphedema. There are more surgeries coming out, which is really exciting. It's still in the new process there, so we're not quite there for everyone yet. So lymphedema therapy is really the gold standard, we call it. And what we do is there are two phases. Phase one is we want to take all that swelling and get rid of as much of it as possible. We want to reduce that swelling. And so we'll bandage with special kinds of bandages. They're not ACE bandages. They're different kinds. And what that will do with different foams and paddings is help get the fluid out of that leg or that arm or that area. And then with that, we do lymphatic drainage. We'll move the fluid out. We'll do exercises to help move the fluid out. And we'll watch someone's skin. That takes about between 2 and 6 weeks, depending on the person's severity. And once someone, we can get the swelling down as much as possible, then we work with them to get them in a compression garment or compression stocking or whatever that might be for the area of their body to keep the swelling down and away. And lymphedema doesn't have a cure right now. And so the goal is to manage it, get the swelling down and then keep it down. And so we'll do that phase short term as well with the therapist, but then long term on your own and then using your therapist as needed.
I'm guessing you use Comprolan wraps or do you use something else?
We do Comprolan. So it's called short stretch bandages for anyone watching. They have a different kind of stretch than an ACE bandage. ACE bandage is known as long stretch. These are short stretch. Comprolan is one of the brands. Yeah.
Do you have any good tape to get those to stay on? Because I remember them always falling down in therapy and I was working with patients.
Yeah, there's a 3M tape that I really like. I am blanking on the name, but I can find it. It's great.
That's fine. I remember some of those, like the self, it's not really tape. I don't know what you call it. It's like self-adhesion. Like it sticks to itself only, but not skin.
Yeah, we have used that too. People just use masking tape at home though too. That's just another good classic one.
Sure. I guess I'm guessing when they're, you know, laying down and then they stand up, the swelling must be getting better if it just drops or it's gravity pulling it down.
Yeah, the big thing for people to know, and if they're getting frustrated with bandaging, is the first 24 hours, you're going to lose 30 to 40% of your fluid when you start bandaging. So we actually are happy to hear that they're starting to fall down because that means that the leg or the arm or whatever that area is coming down, it's shrinking and the bandages are just going to fall. So early on in therapy, we really need to see someone consistently to be able to re-bandage them or teach them to bandage themselves because we want to keep that process going for someone. So don't be surprised if they fall down. If anything, it's a good sign that it's working.
So kind of walked us through this, but I'll ask this question anyway, in case you have more to add. Could you walk us through the typical treatment process for managing lymphedema?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, we start with an evaluation. We like to measure someone's leg or arm or whatever swollen because we need to know where.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Starting from And from there, then we start that first phase where we will do lymphatic drainage, and then we'll bandage someone with foams and paddings, depending on what they need. Some people have more pockets of swelling. Some people have hard tissue because the fluid's been there so long. The skin's really hard. We want to soften that. And then we'll bandage them, and we'll teach them exercises to do with their bandages on. And then ideally, we could get someone back maybe every day or every other day that first couple weeks, because the bandages are going to fall off. We need to retighten them and repeat that process again until we get the leg or the arm down as far as it will go. And we'll remeasure someone to make sure that it's finally down. It's not changing anymore. And then we'll transition on to that second phase to get them something to wear long-term at home. And so, like I said, it takes about 2 to 6 weeks for that first phase that someone's with us quite a bit. And then we see them just on occasion or as needed after or long term.
Are the how long during the day do they have to wear the bandages? All day, or do they have times when they take them off?
Yeah, we say 23 hours a day, meaning the hour that's off is when you're bathing, showering, cleaning up, whatever you need to do. They're just more effective. Some people say they don't want to wear them at night. It happens, but for true lymphedema, the fluid will actually come back in the middle of the night if you don't have anything on, and it just slows the process down. And so to be effective, be efficient, it's best to wear them 23 hours a day and take them off for discomfort or to shower. And then again, going into compression garments, which can vary from just daytime and nighttime. There are different kinds, and it just depends on the person and what we get them.
Do the protocols kind of vary if someone says has like weeping lymphedema? So for the audience, if you don't know, it's kind of like a clear fluid that sometimes can leak through the skin if they have like a skin break or something.
Yeah. So if someone has chronic swelling, and lymphedema is not known to cause wounds as much as like a vein swelling. So that's what something we look for as therapists, but also a doctor. Someone's really prone to weeping. They might have more vein issues. But what we do is we know, this is actually a really good question that could have been one of the things that we don't know about or that people don't talk about, is if someone has a wound, they think that they need to get the wound healed before they start therapy. What is the cause of the wound? The cause of the wound is because of the swelling. And so we really love to work together with wound therapy if needed, or if it's small, we can handle it ourselves, is to try to cover and support that wound to get it to heal, but then start bandaging, because once we get the swelling down, the wound can heal because it's not the cause anymore. And so if we can do them at the same time, that's the best. Even if someone has a lot of weeping, we of course want to make sure we're taking care of any risk for infection, but we would love to start putting compression on that as soon as possible to help it heal.
Sure. So are there any exercises that individuals with lymphedema can do that you want to show or talk about?
Any exercise. I do have a lot of videos on my YouTube if someone really wants a routine to follow along with. But at the end of the day, we do know the lymphatic system doesn't have a natural pump. So the arteries and veins do. That's the heart is the pump. It's pushing it. Lymphatics don't have that. So the muscles, when someone uses their muscles or turns them on, that actually pumps the lymphatics naturally. And so any activity is going to be supportive for the lymphatic system and lymphedema. And so we used to just teach basic exercises. Again, I have them on my YouTube if someone wants somewhere to start. But at the end of the day, it's really important just to find something that someone enjoys doing, like walking, swimming, biking, just walking around the house, doing chores, gardening, because if you're moving, it's going to be helpful. It doesn't matter what it is, but find something that someone can be consistent with day to day, and that's going to be the best thing for them.
So if someone doesn't have primary, what was it called again? Secondary? Or is
primary
it something?
And secondary, yep.
Okay, if someone has secondary, what are some, what's the word I'm looking for? I was going to say lifestyle changes. What are some modifiable risk factors? There we go. That people can try and change.
Yeah, that's a good question. So again, secondary, the most common reason is because of lymph nodes removed for cancer treatment. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of risk factors or things that someone can do. So the big one is we know that if we catch it early, we have the opportunity to reverse it. Meaning if someone is being checked out by a lymphedema therapist or an oncology therapist, and we're monitoring really closely for any changes in swelling, we will start some treatment for them. We'll put them in a compression sleeve for breast cancer or a garment for lower body. And we have found that if we start to support the lymphatics with that compression early, we have been able to reverse it or stop it in its tracks from getting worse. So that's a big one, is just being able to know what to look for and getting support early. Another one that someone can do at home is, like we talked about, muscles play a big role with moving lymphatic fluid. So keeping active, staying moving, they show that those who do exercise or even doing strength training, they have a lower risk of developing lymphedema. And then the other one that we know for a fact is that someone's like obesity, like morbid obesity, can cause lymphedema alone. So it's just trying to stay healthy. It doesn't mean like if someone's a little overweight, it's going to cause lymphedema, but we just want to live a healthy lifestyle because we do know there's a correlation with that as well.
So you talked about compression garments a bit and wraps. So how do they actually assist in managing lymphedema? Can you kind of walk through the process, how that works?
Yeah. So lymphedema bandages, that short stretch bandage, they will put some compression. So just think of like toothpaste in a toothpaste tube. If you squeeze the tube, the fluid's going to, or the toothpaste is going to move out. And it's the same concept. The reason we use a short stretch is because it's comfortable for someone who has swelling. If you use an ACE bandage, they can get really uncomfortable if someone's putting those on too tight, like a tourniquet feeling. But the short stretch gives, that has a give to it, that gives a natural support. And so people who have lymphedema, when we bandage them, they say it's actually comfortable. And that over time will help kind of squeeze to get the fluid moving out. The stockings or garments that we put someone in, they're just meant to kind of hold you there so you can't re-swell in the area. They don't do a great job of shrinking someone. That's not their role. Their role is to maintain someone. And so that's a misconception. If someone has a lot of swelling, to put them in a compression stocking, it's just going to cause a tourniquet. It probably won't help very much, maybe a little bit. So we want to do the bandaging first, get them down, and then go into the stocking. And that usually works much, much better.
Do the stockings you have to wear all day as well? I don't remember if you said that before or not.
Typically, 99% of the time, it's during the day. We don't wear those at night. We have a different thing, a different style we wear at night for comfort, or someone can bandage at night too. We have nighttime garments. They're like wearing a little pillow. But during the day, we do try to have them wear it most of the day.
Sure. I'm guessing they usually get a couple pair because don't... Yeah. I remember always seeing them hand wash. Is that true? You typically hand wash them?
That's how they usually say, is hand wash them. I see people throw them in the laundry once in a while. I get it. But most of them, the custom made ones, are typically hand wash and line dried.
So what advice do you have for individuals who may be experiencing symptoms of lymphedema?
I think the big thing is to go to the doctor first. Why? Because it can be very confusing what lymphedema is versus what something else is. They all look very similar. They're all swelling. And again, lymphedema doesn't have a cure, but some of the others do. And so if we want to make sure that if it is a different issue, that you can get support for that and get the right treatment for that first. So that's the first step, is getting to check with your doctor. Then from there is to find a certified lymphedema therapist in your area. Someone can go to www.clt-lana, or Lana, so clt-lana.org, and there is a directory, a therapist directory on there, to find someone in your area. And then getting with them, being able to look at what personal treatment they might need and what kind of lymphedema or swelling they have, and then have a treatment plan from there. Those are really the few steps that I would take first.
Well, my last question here, I think I wrecked it because I asked it earlier in a different way. I could ask it in case you have more ways to elaborate, but how can individuals prevent or minimize the risk of developing lymphedema?
Yeah, and that's the same thing, is living a healthy lifestyle, maintaining a healthy weight, and exercising, moving. It doesn't matter what kind of exercise, find something that someone enjoys doing, be consistent with it. Those two are really the biggest ways to help avoid it. There are things that you can't avoid. You can't avoid genetics. You can't avoid how many lymph nodes someone had to have removed for cancer treatment. You can't avoid if you had radiation in the area, if you had a fracture, an injury. We can't avoid those, but what we can do is some of those other things. If someone has early signs of swelling, they may also work with a therapist to get a compression garment early, and that might help lower the risk as well. And so again, if someone's at that high risk, they can work with a therapist from there.
So do you have anything else you want to add that I didn't ask?
I think we talked about a lot about lower body, upper body is the same way. The arm, we treat it in a very similar way to the leg. We see more leg swelling and even pelvic swelling just because of gravity plays a role throughout the day. They're a little more prone to issues in the leg versus the arm. But we also see lymphedema elsewhere. We see lymphedema in the breast or chest. We see lymphedema in the face and the head and neck area. It can be anywhere. It's not just the legs. And so if someone's seen swelling, or really what to look for is lymphedema is not always, but often it's one-sided, or left leg will have it, right leg won't, for maybe 80% of people. And so comparing one side to the other is a good way to look for lymphedema, looking at bony area. So if your knuckles, you're looking at the joints. And if you don't see those bones anymore, it just looks rounded over on one side, like a tennis ball versus the other, that could be a sign. So those are the things that you want to look for. And if you're not sure, that it's just worth calling the doctor or calling your therapist and having it looked at.
Do you want to mention your website and YouTube channel again?
Yeah, of course. So it's, my website is cancerrehabpt.com. Again, it's not just for those who have cancer. It's also for those who have lymphedema. There's a lot of non-cancer lymphedema stuff on there, as well as the YouTube. There's plenty of videos, and that's also cancerrehabpt. And there are exercises. There are lymphatic drainage routines. There's how to bandage on there. There's skincare. There's quite a bit on there. And so feel free to check those out.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great.